You're listening to the Culture Night podcast, produced in association with the podcast studios and supported by the Arts Council.
Hello and welcome to the Culture Night podcast. I'm Aoife Barry.
And I'm Lauren Murphy. We're from the Irish Culture podcast Get Around To It, and every month we give you a roundup of the films, TV shows, albums and books to get around to that month.
Yeah, and we're really delighted to have been asked by Culture Night, by the Culture Night team, to bring you a roundup of some of the highlights of this year's Culture Night event. In case you didn't know, it's taking place on the 18th of September. That's a Friday night as usual.
Yep, indeed. And it's the 15th year of Culture Night, actually, this year. And that milestone means that it's different, obviously, to the previous years, because thanks to the COVID-19 pandemic, as you know, there are new rules affecting venues, which will change things a little bit this year.
Yeah, it's interesting because that means this year you're not going to be seeing a huge amount of like the queuing up outside on the streets and that you're used to seeing on Culture Night. It's a bit different. Instead, it's going to be mostly digital, but there are going to be some events that are, as we'd say, offline as well. So don't worry, if you do want to get out of the house and do your Culture Night celebrating outside, you can do that too.
So on this podcast, we're going to be chatting to some of the people involved in this year's events, and we're going to give you a taste of what to expect. So we'll be talking to people like artist Aoife Dunn, who's been commissioned for a very cool project, especially for Culture Night, as well as one of the programmers and several other people involved in this year's programme.
Yeah, so stick around for the rest of the episode. As is usual with Get Around To It, we like kind of giving our thoughts on different things and giving you a lot of stuff to pick from. We'll be looking at digital, we're looking at offline, like Lauren said there, chatting to people who'll be given more of an insight into things. So hopefully by the end of the podcast, you'll have a nice little list of things that you want to go to see on the night or that you want to check out online. So first of all, though, we're going to give you an overview of what to expect. And we're going to speak to the woman who's got kind of the real bird's eye view of everything happening with Culture Night. Her name is Aimée Van Villick, and we're going to chat to her now.
So Aimée, you've been involved with Culture Night for a good few years. Can you maybe explain exactly what it is that you do?
Yeah, so I've been working on Culture Night since 2013. So my title is a National Culture Night Coordinator. And this year, I'm contracted by Dublin City Council and the Arts Council to run Culture Night on a national level. And we also then I suppose, manage and coordinate Culture Night in Dublin as well, where we program the Dublin program. Well, normally the outdoor program, it's restricted this year, but we look after that. So we manage all aspects of communications for Culture Night, steer the whole communications campaign nationally, marketing, and then we liaise with local coordinators in each county who would then program Culture Night within their area, and then we also program in Dublin specifically and add some national programming elements to the program as well.
And so this year is obviously a very different Culture Night for you than it's been in previous years. Like, when did you realize that you'd have to really change the way that Culture Night was organized compared to other years?
Well, for everyone, it's been a really interesting and unique year. We all hope it's not going to go beyond a year. I think that's the biggest kind of hope right now. We work on a number of events. So we were working on the Dublin Chinese New Year Festival in January. We had already indications of COVID then because we were bringing over artists from China, and China was commencing their lockdown. So we had kind of an inkling of it then, but I think we were quite naive at the beginning. We would have been working on Culture Night at that stage already, but we were quite naive in terms of what, how this was going to spread and that it was actually going to become a pandemic. So once that kicked in, the realization of that and how it impacted on the sector, we tried to make Culture Night robust as possible. In our minds, we did think that things would have eased up by September, but unfortunately, they haven't. But what we decided to go with was a hybrid program for Culture Night, which meant that we would have an online offering and an offline offering. And the offline would be those physical events, and they would be presented within kind of social distancing measures applied. But we really heavily encouraged all the participating venues, i.e. in Dublin, and then through the local coordinators within each county, to build an online programming within a, you know, so that in the case where we are right now, if we have to scale back on physical elements, then we have an online offering. So that's been really heartening to see in terms of everybody's preparation for Culture Night, and that they've been able to, you know, put together. I mean, we have close to 550 events now across Ireland. And that doesn't include everything yet. So not everything is yet up on the website, but it's really heartening to see that that amount of events have been programmed by the various organizations and participating venues.
Absolutely. It's brilliant that the whole thing is still even going ahead. But the fact that, you know, some of the event is digital this year, so much of previous Culture Nights have been about the buzz in venues in person. Is it more difficult to keep that spirit alive when at least a portion of the program is online this year?
Oh, completely. It's a completely different playing field. I mean, I think no one can say that. I mean, I don't want to put online or digital events down. I think that there's huge value to it. One thing that we realized this year in particular, and something that I would be keen that Culture Night would continue to present an online program once, obviously, this dissipates, COVID dissipates, but is that it offers accessibility to so many people who weren't able to come out for Culture Night in previous years, for whatever reason that may be. So in this way, it opens up the program. But on the other hand, yes, that buzz, the element of connection, human connection, people being in a room together or in a space, the energy that creates is potentially, I suppose, is not going to be there as in previous years. All our programming as well, in terms of how we program when it comes to public spaces and things like that, especially now with the new restrictions in place, is trying not to encourage a crowd to gather, which is the antithesis of what Culture Night has always been about, where we would have been trying to invite as many people out. I mean, when I think back to last year, where we did the aerial performance on the Central Plaza site on Dame Street, with Dublin City Council's help, we got a road closure on Dame Street. We had 10,000 people gathering there for this magical experience, and it's just not going to be the case this year. And that's absolutely—I mean, it's very sad, essentially. But I think we need to look on the positive side and continue to, I suppose, see that Culture Night can still play a role despite us not being able to invite the masses out onto the streets.
And like you say, I mean, there's still loads of people participating in it, whether that's online or offline, like hundreds of events taking place across the country. And like you say, they're accessible now to people no matter where they are. They don't have to travel necessarily to see things. But amongst the big program, you get to oversee everything. Do you have one or two things that are, you know, your own personal highlights that you're particularly looking forward to that you want to tell the podcast listeners about?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, some of these artists we've been working with quite closely in Dublin, for example. I mean, one highlight is this performance artist, Paul Regan, who's planning to float down the Liffey. And this is one of the pieces commissioned for Dublin Liminal Spaces. This is going to be pre-recorded, so we're not inviting people to come down to the Liffey on Culture Night to watch this. Just want to make a note of that. But that's quite exciting. And Paul Regan responded to our call out, and I found like his proposal was just evoked all our sentiment right now, where we feel kind of in this space where we just don't know where we are or where we're heading to. So I'm really looking forward to the outcome of that. That project is due to be filmed in the next couple of days. So that's kind of quite exciting for me, and it's quite different as well. And it's a one-person performance. It's just very different from what we've done in previous years. And then also all the audio walks that are being commissioned around the country, and some of which will be hosted on the Culture Night podcast channel. I think is exciting to listen to. I mean, podcasts have become like part and parcel of everyone in some way. I mean, I feel very close to podcasts. I think podcasts have kept me company over this COVID time, and a bit of relief, you know, to have to listen to something and to find out about something new. So we have Lisa Murray Griffith doing a podcast on bookshops across the island, across Ireland, I suppose, from various counties, independent bookshops that have been really busy over the COVID time as well, trying to keep people connected with books and literature. So I'm looking forward to that story being told. And I suppose with the digital content as well, Culture Night, for the first time on scale, is going to leave a legacy in terms of programming as well. There'll be content that people will be able to engage with post Culture Night, you know, over weeks, because Culture Night has always been of scale. You were never able to experience everything. So now I suppose we're giving people an opportunity to kind of dip into the program post Culture Night as well and revisit things and share them as well with friends wherever they may be. They don't have to be in Ireland. We can connect with people everywhere in the world for Culture Night this year. And that is exciting.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect way to end. Thanks so much for your time, Aimee. It was lovely to talk
to you. Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much to Aimee for chatting to us about her picks. It's tricky, isn't it, this year, moving the festival. That's such a significant part of Ireland's cultural landscape every year. It's moving it online, well, mostly online, as you heard.
Yeah, like when I think of Culture Night, I always think of queuing up for different events or heading out onto the streets, heading out to the city. You know, mostly it's been the Dublin one that I've gone to, but I've gone to the Cork one as well back home. And it's always such a lovely, vibrant event, you know, with those people, you know, celebrating, I suppose, what's happening in the city. So it's still nice to see that people are going to be able to do those offline events now. But I also think there's a lot more kind of accessibility to the whole, you know, all of Ireland event, I suppose, with Culture Night, with having the digital aspect. But we were having a look, weren't we, at some of the places that you'd usually be used to heading into, but they're now doing virtual tours. So did you ever get to the Freemasons Lodge in Dublin or any of the other Freemasons lodges around the place?
I actually didn't. And that's one place that everybody always seems to every year say, you need to go, you need to see it. And I never managed to get tickets in time. But yeah, that's a good example of this year. They're doing a virtual tour. So you'll finally get to see behind those big doors of the very imposing building on Molesworth Street.
Yeah. The first time I went there, the queue looked so long. It was years ago and I was thinking, there's no way we're going to get in. But like, it moved so quickly and it was one of the most fascinating buildings I've ever been in. It's so well worth the look because every room is very surprising in its own special way. Yeah. There's other places too. I've never gotten to do the Leinster House tour. And again, that's one that's always heavily subscribed to, and they're going to be doing a virtual tour as well too. So if you really want to see what's happening kind of, you know, behind the scenes and the seat of Parliament in Ireland, where all the laws are made and where the TDs and ministers get to shout at each other from across the room, you can kind of get to see the gallery and just kind of how it all works. So that should be pretty interesting. Any other things stick out to you in terms of virtual tours or anything like that?
Definitely. There's definitely one that I've been meaning to do for years. And again, just either never got around to it or was always really heavily subscribed, as you said, is Dunsink Observatory. They're hosting a virtual Night Among the Stars. So there's talks by astrophysicists and Q&A sessions and basically giving a sense of what they do in the observatory there in Dunsink. And it just seems like such a fascinating place. So I'm looking forward to getting online and seeing what they have in store this year.
That's really cool. That's long been on my list of places to go to, but like, never got to go to it. It seems like it'd be really cool. So that's great that you can access that. And there's lots of online workshops and demos and stuff like that as well. Have you been kind of looking around and spotting some of those on the website?
Yeah, definitely. There's loads of workshops and demonstrations. I mean, there's one in Glasnevin Cemetery are doing a genealogy workshop, which sounds really interesting because that's something that I'm interested in, but I've never gotten around to actually doing any research on. So I think their resident genealogist, Lynn Brady, is basically going to guide people through how to explore their family history and the records there in Glasnevin, which of course is a majorly significant cemetery in Irish history. So this is the perfect opportunity to do that. But that's just one example. There's loads of other stuff going on, demonstrations and workshops and masterclasses and stuff in various galleries and venues around Ireland. So make sure to get online and search, because as Aoife said, there is lots of stuff offline as well, but the online stuff makes it so much more accessible this year, which is a brilliant thing.
I think it's cool. In one way, as much as things are different, I like the idea that if you're in Clare, you can go and see what they're doing in Donegal, you know, that you can actually tip around the country. I know I was looking at one particular event where the Afghan community has put a video online about the like outback Australia area and Afghan cameleers who were there, and you can watch this documentary that's on YouTube, and they have the link. It's on at 7:30. Just search Afghan in or Afghan community on culturenight.ie and you'll find it. And just those kind of things, you know, you kind of stumble across them online just like you'd stumble across them on the night. And it's worth pointing out as well that some of these events, particularly the offline events, they will need booking. So head to culturenight.ie to book in. Some of them don't. I've seen one or two that don't require any booking, but, you know, just make sure to check the accessibility and whether or not you can book yourself into that. So will we go look at one specific area? Because we're going to be breaking it down, aren't we, throughout the podcast into specific areas that we've picked one or two things from ourselves.
Yeah, we're going to be taking it region by region, basically, and chatting about a couple of really interesting things that caught our eye on the Culture Night website. And hopefully you like them too. And yeah, will we do Leinster first?
Yeah.
We'll take it region by region. We'll start with Leinster. What's your pick for Leinster, Aoife?
Sure. So my pick is a poetry and history walk at Glendalough, County Wicklow, which sounds really like lovely and relaxing and everything. And it's an offline event, so it's not a virtual tour or anything like that. So if you book into this, because this does require pre-booking and they can only take 12 people, so make sure you head to culturenight.ie and search for Glendalough. You'll find that and then you can book in. But to tell you about it, you get to join the acclaimed poet Jane Clark and the historian Joan Kavanagh for a 5 kilometre walk from the Glendalough Upper Lake car park to the miners' village and then back again. And along the way, you'll get entertained. So Joan will speak about mining. So you get like the history of mining in the Glenisan, Glendalough and Glenmalure valleys. And then Jane is going to read poems which are inspired by the lives of the miners. So they describe it as like a relaxed ramble along forest road and track. And they say that you'll learn about a rich cultural heritage and a way of life that has disappeared. Like, I know nothing about the mining or anything like that in that part of the world. It sounds so interesting. It's also suitable for adults and children. They say social distancing guidelines will be maintained. Please bring rain gear, because it is Ireland, so it could be lashing rain, you never know. But it'll still be lovely and beautiful, I'm sure. And bring suitable footwear. So make sure that you don't wear your kind of, you know, your worst trainers. Maybe gear up some boots there. That's on from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. and they leave from the Upper Lake car park. But like we said, you have to book into that, so don't just appear on the night and hope that you can take part in it. And you can find the details on the website. What about yourself?
Mine is slightly different. It's an online event. It's a musical one, because usually such a huge part of Culture Night, and for obvious reasons, it may be not quite as prominent in the programme as previous years, but there are still some lovely musical events happening both in person and online. This one is an online one. I don't know if you've ever been to Wexford Opera House.
No, and they have the festival every year.
Yeah.
Not this year, I don't think, in the format it used to be, and I've always been fascinated by it. Have you headed to it yourself?
I was down there a few years ago. I was interviewing some opera stars.
Oh, cool.
In Wexford Opera House. It was very cool, but it's a beautiful building as well, but obviously it's a hub for opera in Ireland, with the, as you said, the Festival Opera taking place there every year. That's not happening this year, but the Wexford Factory Singers, which are a group of 14 young singers who have come through the Wexford Factory, which is basically like a kind of breeding ground for a programme designed to mentor young opera singers, Irish-based opera singers, through masterclasses led by internationally renowned, well-known artists and professionals. So they'll be performing, these young up-and-coming opera singers, the Wexford Factory Singers, from the stage of the O'Reilly Theatre at the National Opera House on Culture Night. So it's something a bit different, and, you know, potentially the opportunity to catch the next big opera stars from the comfort of your own home. What could be better?
Yeah.
And there's no booking required for that. So that's taking place from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Sounds really cool. Excellent stuff. I suppose we were looking as well at any brief mentions we wanted to make. So I'd have a very brief mention as well of an event happening in Wicklow. It's in Kilruddery House and Gardens. So it's got a group of writers meeting up: Louise Nealon, Stephen Walsh, Olivia Fitzsimons and Kasia Gaydon-Gilmartin. They're going to chat with Helen Meaney about what it's like to be emerging writers and how they got through lockdown, basically. They're going to look at the highs and lows of their work in kind of recent times and read from their work in progress. So that's 7 to 8 p.m. and that's happening at Southern Crossroad in Kilruddery Domain East in Bray in County Wicklow. That's Kilruddery House and Gardens. So you'll find that again if you search for that on culturenight.ie. Do you have anything you want to briefly mention yourself?
No, I mean, there's loads online. There's so much online that it's hard to actually single out certain things.
I know.
But by all means, go online. You can search by region, you can search by county. So there's loads of stuff both online and offline to have a look in Leinster. But will we go to our second interview now?
Yeah, who is this person that we're going to be talking about next? Is it an artist who's going to be performing, or...?
It's actually a visual artist, or a digital installation artist, to be more specific. This is Aoife Dunn. She creates immersive interactive environments fusing sculpture, video, sound, performance, technology and costume. So if you have a look at her website, aoifedunn.com, you'll see just, you know, how vibrant and unique her work is. It's really, really great. She's been commissioned by Dublin City Council, basically, to create a one-off piece for Culture Night this year. It's called Genesis 2020, and let's hear a little bit more about it.
Hi, Aoife. Welcome to the podcast. So do you want to tell us about the event that you're taking part in for Culture Night and kind of how it came about?
Yeah, so Genesis is a virtual show that I've created about the beginning of a new world. I don't want to give too much away, but this work will take viewers on a virtual tour of the future. What's really exciting about this work is that it was meant to be a large-scale installation. And because of the latest restrictions, I came up with a kind of a virtual version of it. What's really interesting as well is that my work is very much socially engaged. So it was important for me when I was developing this work that the audience could participate in some way. How I've gone about this is that I've created options for the viewers as they are engaging with the work. So depending on what option you choose, the narrative will change. So yeah, I think this is a really interesting and exciting approach to everything that's sort of going on in the world lately.
Excellent. That sounds really cool. So, I mean, we've been looking at your stuff on your website. Your style is really, really vibrant. But how would you best explain your style for people that might not be aware of it? I mean, it's safe to say that you're not afraid of combining different mediums in your work.
Yeah, so my work is a fusion of like sculpture, video, sound, performance, technology, and costume. And my work is very oversaturated, activates all senses, quite chaotic. Yeah, so if you're not afraid of colour, I think that you'd really love it.
And the importance of art, especially visual art, has really been highlighted by the COVID pandemic, you know, in terms of people not being able to access art in person and really wanting to, or, you know, artists creating new work, you know, whether people are inspired or not inspired or not. But how has the pandemic had an impact on your work? And, you know, if it has had one, does the new piece that we'll see on Culture Night actually reflect that too? Or is it kind of separate to the last few months for you?
Yeah, I mean, the pandemic has been really challenging for creatives all over the world. What was challenging for me is that my work is very much dependent on audience engagement. I basically create interactive environments that need audience to activate the work. So when all of this happened, I started to really challenge myself and see if I could still create interesting work in these strange restrictions. So yes, the Genesis show is sort of inspired by everything that's happened. And now that it has to be virtual, I really wanted to see if I could still make it engaging and interesting.
Absolutely. Well, we're looking forward to checking it out on Culture Night. Apart from your own stuff, what other event would you recommend from the Culture Night programme? Are you looking forward to anything else in particular?
I'm actually really super excited about the show, the virtual show at Dunsink Observatory. I'm obsessed with that location. I think it's incredible. And then aside from that, I mean, there's loads of open art studios, which would be really, really great. And I actually currently have a show on in the Lab Gallery called Seventh Sense. So if anyone's around Foley Street, you should definitely pop in and check it out.
That's great. Looking forward to seeing your work on the night. It sounds really cool.
Great. Thanks, guys.
That was great to hear from Aoife Dunn there. Looking forward to catching her work. It sounds so, so interesting and really like different.
Yeah, she recently had an installation that kind of traveled around Dublin, I think, mostly Dublin, called Transcending Time. That was really, really interesting. It actually went through my hometown. So it was basically on the back of a flatbed lorry a really cool digital installation. Wow. So her stuff is just really great, and looking forward to seeing what she has in store with Genesis 2020.
Definitely, me too. So we gave you an insight into a couple of the picks that we liked from the Leinster area at, near the start of the podcast. And now it's time to go to Munster, my kind of part of the country. So looking forward to seeing what you've picked out from here, Lauren. So my pick is from the Glucksmann. So have you heard of the Glucksmann?
I've heard about it. Right, it's a gallery, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's basically in the grounds of UCC in Cork City. And I think it was built when I was in college, and it's really beautiful looking building. And they do lots of interesting work with the kind of locals and with young people in particular. And the Glucksmann, they're going to be unveiling a public artwork that it sounds so interesting. It was created with teenage asylum seekers and refugees and migrants from the Cork Migrant Centre. And they worked with the artist Kate O'Shea on this particular work. And they're also supported by the Glucksmann and the Cork Migrant Centre teams as well while they were doing it. So because it's young people and they kind of facilitated there. And they were basically invited to find creative ways to communicate their experiences of being a teenager in 2020 Ireland. And they looked at the work of people like Joe Caslin, and like everybody I suppose listening to this will probably be familiar with his work because he does beautiful black and white pasted images, and he always taps into really kind of pertinent social topics that are happening. And so they looked at the work of people like himself, and then they also learned new creative techniques as well too, to kind of explore how public art can challenge ideas and bring up questions and just get people thinking. At the same time, their work also responds to the Black Lives Matter movement too, so it's really up to date, as well as that the kind of experiences of growing up in Ireland, like I mentioned there too. So it's kind of calling for positive action and change. And the launch of the artwork will also be accompanied by live music and dance. So you'll find out more about that and the location for it if you head to culturenight.ie and look for Glucksmann. But that sounds like a really kind of nice public artwork. Looking forward to seeing what that looks like. Anything that you've spotted there in Munster?
Yeah, definitely. This is a bit different again. It's something that sounds really cool, and it's online, which of course, again, means it's accessible to everyone. So none of us are getting to the theatre anytime soon. This is a good compromise for both theatre and drama fans, although it's an audio drama rather than a visual one. It's a audio drama by Katie Holly. She's a writer, and this year she's actually the Culture Night Ambassador for County Cork as well, as opposed to Cork City, which is its own category. She's written a play called Crossword, which had a successful real life an in-person sort of run last year in various libraries across Cork. It was commissioned by Cork County Council and the Library Service, which makes sense when you discover that it's actually set in a library. So it follows the respective stories of these two characters. There's a young arts graduate called Brian and Harry, who's an elderly man. They basically cross paths in their local library. They're both there for very different reasons. Brian is, you know, the recent art graduate trying to find a job, trawling the job section of the newspapers. Harry is there to basically, you know, keep himself occupied and do the crossword. And it's a two-man play. Actors Ty Kickey and Danny Buckley, who are in the original drama, are reprising their roles for the audio drama. And it sounds like their discussions kind of, you know, tackle social issues as well as lighthearted ones. It sounds like there's lots of humour in there and certainly something different. And Katie Holly has had a lot of success over the past few years with several of her plays, one of them being Crowman, starring John Kenny, which I've heard really good things about. So if you haven't managed to catch any of her work yet, she's regarded as a very promising playwright. So this is a good chance to do so.
Great. So loads of stuff happening there in Munster as well. And it's nice to see some of the trailblazers and the people involved in Culture Night as well, the work that they are doing. Time for another interview now. And the person we're going to be chatting to is David Francis Moore. He's from the Contemporary Arts Centre Visual Carlo, and they have a very interesting lineup planned for Culture Night. So let's head to our chat with David Francis Moore.
Hi, David, and welcome to the Culture Night podcast. So you have a huge amount planned for Visual Carlo. How did you plan it all, given the social distancing guidelines and the restrictions?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was challenging, to say the least.
Yeah.
It's an ambitious programme, but what we wanted to do was, I suppose, health and safety was of the utmost importance. So we knew that we kind of had to go digital this year, but we still wanted to keep kind of the same ambition that we've had in previous years. So in doing that, in going digital, it allowed us to kind of think more so from a film perspective. It allows us to schedule things, and therefore you're able to control have much more control over kind of, you know, contact and all the health and safety protocols that were in place. So to do that, I suppose we kind of start to work quite early and understanding, especially because we're a venue who's producing this, about what, you know, what were the limitations on space, on numbers, the big engagement strand element to our program. And we really wanted to kind of very early on understand what were the limitations, and then from that point then really consider how we could work from there, bringing artists in to film, bringing our community, members of our community in to work on particular programs for the piece. So it was quite challenging, but really it was just about understanding the protocols that needed to be in place and making sure that we were adhering to them and continue to adhere to them, because we're filming at the moment still in the run up to completing the programme.
So can you tell us about some of the highlights that Visual Carlo has lined up for Culture Night?
Yes, so it's a 30-minute programme for screen, and it's a number of works that have been commissioned by artists for screen, and a number of performances as well. So I suppose the highlights for me, we have Katie Holton, the visual artist. Her exhibition is on at Visual currently. It's called The Irish Tree Alphabet. And we brought in a number of artists in around that and community members to respond to that work. We've brought in John Scott, choreographer John Scott, poet Jessica Traynor, poet Felly Speaks, and composer Tom Lane to create a piece with Carlo's migrant community around the Irish tree alphabet and the ideas that are within the exhibition in relation to native and non-native trees, and how non-native trees are now part of the Irish ecosystem, and what that means, and what that means for new communities coming to Ireland and joining our communities and becoming part of our communities. So it's a lovely work that's still developing. Actually, we just shot the last scenes yesterday, so I'm really excited to see what will come out of the post-production element of it. We also have Feda, who is the sister of Loa. She's a musician. She is one of Culture Night's trailblazers with the Arts Council this year. She's singing a new song from her upcoming album in the programme. We have Carol Nelson, a jazz musician based in Carlo. She's performing a piece called Requiem for a Lost Species from her new album also. God, it's jam-packed, let me think. We have Tygo Sullivan, the filmmaker. He's working with members of Carlo's community to create video portraits. So we were really interested in the programme of having it really diverse and multidisciplinary in a very digital way, obviously. So he's done a number of sittings this week with people from Carlo's community, just capturing them on film. And that's going to be underscored by a piece of work from Crash Ensemble. John McKenna, the writer, is creating a piece with actors from Carlo. We're filming that next week. The list goes on. I can't even think, it's so big.
Yeah, you've certainly got a lot packed into 30-minute programme. Fair play. I guess because the programme is so eclectic, there's lots of different people from different aspects of the arts industry. How are you all finding it at Visual Carlo? I mean, have you done anything new to bring in audiences or adjust to the new normal in general?
It's a new normal. So unfortunately, we're not at the point where we've been able to open our theatre because of limited capacity, everything else. But we have been, we have opened our galleries, and we have some amazing, we've Artworks, which is part of Carlo Arts Festival, in there at the moment with Katie Holton, like I mentioned earlier on. Sybil Montague has an exhibition. So we've opened up the spaces, and the way we could do that was basically making them ticketed events. So people can book tickets online at visualcarlo.ie, and they can come visit the exhibitions. So I suppose that's our kind of entry point into bringing audiences back into the space. And then the other one was community engagement. At Visual Carlo, we have a very strong history of engaging with our community in a deep and meaningful way through a number of programs over the year. And I suppose the Culture Night program allowed us to do that, which was bringing the community back into the gallery space in order to create this work for screen. So we've just been kind of working in that way and adapting as much as we can. And you know yourself, the arts, all the creative minds together, we can always find a way to move forward and adapt, even in the most dire of circumstances, which we're currently in.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then finally, wrapping things up. So we've talked about the many highlights that are happening at Visual Carlo, but what about yourself? What's your other kind of personal highlight happening in Culture Night aside from what you're doing there in Carlo?
Yeah, independent artist Atelier Mazar. Get down to Mazar on Charlemagne Street, a really great space for an independent artist to set up, and it's a hub for a studio hub, an exhibition space, and a hub for wellness. So get down there, get down to the Glucksman, get down to Dance Limerick, Bloodlines is on, John Scott, really great work. Toby Amateso, who's originally from Carlow, is featured in that work. Phenomenal work. We had it at Visual last year, and Fair Play to Dance Ireland, another live event going ahead this year.
That was a really interesting chat, a really interesting guy. Obviously, it's a very difficult time for any art sector, anyone in the art sector at the moment. So great to see the Visual Carlo is keeping the flag flying and doing great things down there, and really interesting stuff in store for culture now.
Yeah, I've never actually been to Visual Carlo. I'd love to head over and see what they're doing, but they have such a full lineup of things. So looks great. We're going to head to another part of the country now for our picks. Where are we going to go?
We're going to go to Connacht/Ulster. We're going to combine these two regions. We'll start with Connacht, will we?
Yeah.
My pick for Connacht is Banshee, which is original music from female artists taking place at Oranmore Arts Festival, which is obviously online this year. This is an online event. It's from 8:30 to 9:15. So it won't take up too much of your night, but it's a really interesting programme. They've pulled off a bit of a coup with a really exciting programme of female artists, Grainne Connolly, Niamh Regan and Denise Chyla. You'll definitely have heard of at least one of them, Denise Chyla probably. They will each give a short set of original material and record it in the unique setting of Oranmore Castle, which if you're not familiar with it, I urge you to go online and look it up now, because it's a really spectacular setting, this 15th century castle right on the shores of Galway Bay. And as we've learned from, you know, stuff like Other Voices, those Other Voices gigs in recent months, a setting counts for a lot.
Definitely.
When you're watching stuff online. So Grainne Connolly, she was the winner of Oranmore Arts Festival's virtual open mic gig, which was held a few months ago. She's a singer-songwriter from Cavan with a kind of country pop vibe. Niamh Regan played the Oranmore Festival last year. She supported Monday and she's really gone from strength to strength since. So it'll be interesting to see how far she's come. She's got this really interesting, quirky sort of folk pop sound, really interesting voice. And Denise Chyla, she, I guess, was booked for this by Oranmore Arts Festival. She came to their creative team's attention after that amazing Other Voices Courage series or gig earlier in the year as part of Other Voices Courage. She is absolutely one of the most exciting musical talents on the Irish scene right now. She released her debut EP last year and her mixtape is on the way. So it's a really, really great, interesting lineup taking place there in at Oranmore Arts Centre.
Sounds really interesting. And yeah, Denise Chyla's performance in the National Gallery of Art was just incredible.
Yeah.
It was so great.
Good.
And it is, I think, like you're saying there, it's really cool to see, and you see this throughout the Culture Night programme, places using locations that are a little bit different or just doing something a bit more with their own location and making, you know, something kind of special out of it. Because it is true that when we're watching things digitally, watching it online, you do want something a little bit special. And I think it's good to see people stepping out and doing that. So what I picked is in Mayo, and I think what I always love about the Culture Night programme is that you get to visit different groups that you might not normally get to visit, or if you're part of the group, you get to show off the group you're part of and let people know what's happening. You get to kind of dip in and out of different parts of Irish culture, be it history, heritage, social history, all that sort of stuff. So there's a number of different traveller support groups around the country, and some of them are holding Culture Night events. So there's one happening in Mayo, and it's run by the Mayo Travellers Support Group. And that's basically a partnership of travellers and settled people. And they aim to work together to achieve human and cultural rights for travellers in the Mayo region. And it's basically based on acknowledgement, they say, of travellers' distinct ethnic identity. So it's really about celebrating that. And the women at Mayo Travellers Support Group are going to be presenting videos on Culture Night, which show different aspects of their contemporary and traditional traveller culture. So, you know, if it's something you don't know a huge amount, it sounds really interesting that you can find out a lot about the history of the traveller community in Ireland. Or maybe you're a member of the travelling community and you want other people to see the history of your community too. So you can join in on the MTSG, that's the Mayo Traveller Support Group, Facebook page on Culture Night from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. So if you're into heritage and storytelling and particularly like arts and crafts too, a huge part of the traveller identity, then you'll find that at the MTSG Facebook page. So that's kind of running for the night. So I'd say there's plenty to catch there. And they say that's family friendly too. And obviously no booking required, and you'll find out more details on theculturenight.ie.
Excellent. Great to see stuff like that taking place. My brief mention for Ulster is the Inishowen Carnival Sculpture Trail, which is an offline event. It's outdoors. It's family friendly. So if you're worried about the whole COVID thing, this should be very safe.
Yeah.
It takes place at Letterkenny Town Park. It takes place every year, actually, as part of the Inishowen Carnival. This year, their theme is The Alchemist, which is an illuminated sculpture trail that features large-scale puppets, illuminated sculptures and geometric light sculptures made from recycled timber. So it sounds really, really interesting. And it will also include some pop-up performance elements. So if you're in the area and planning on heading along, it sounds like a really unique evening is in store. And I was looking on the Inishowen Carnival's Facebook page and they absolutely have form in putting on spectacular parades and sculpture things. You'll see some of the absolutely brilliant stuff they've done in the past. These amazing sculptures, amazing work at their Halloween parade last year in particular. So the illuminated sculpture element should be really special.
That sounds really great. My very brief mention is for the Linenhall Art Centre in Mayo again. They're doing an online full day extravaganza and it's got lots of artists from Mayo, including John Butler, Catherine Donnelly. John Butler is involved in music, Catherine Donnelly involved in dance. You've also got theatre with Elaine Mears, visual art with Conor O'Grady and comedy with Gerard Staunton. They say the full lineup is TBC, so keep an eye on the details for that on the Linenhall Arts Centre page on culturenight.ie. But that sounds really cool that they've got loads happening there. So that was Connacht. I'm going to head back to Ulster now for my last pick of this section and going to go to the Cumann Cultúrtha Vic Rochtan, which is in Antrim. You'll find it on Antrim Road in Belfast. And this sounds like a cool night. It's basically two pipers and two storytellers is the name of it. Or Bert Fiabori, Bert Scalaha. Apologies if I haven't pronounced that the same, probably the same way people pronounce it up in Ulster, the Munster pronunciation and my own pronunciation probably making it sound not great there. But it's really interesting. It's two guys, like the name suggests, two pipers. They're called Cormac O'Brien and Aidan MacShafra. And they're going to be providing the music, traditional music, and then there'll also be storytelling in between that too. So it sounds like a really kind of nice traditional evening of entertainment for people. And they say the genre that you have, obviously, is the music and storytelling. We've got 2 hours of it there up in Belfast and it's family friendly as well. And great if you want to go to an event that's Oscuelga. There's a lot of Irish events happening as part of culturenight.ie, which is really nice. Whether you are a Gaelgore or not, it's always a chance to kind of get a bit better at the language or to catch up with some traditional culture and music. So that was my Ulster event.
Will we go to our final interview?
Yeah, let's do it. And this person sounds like they have a very interesting career in music. Do you want to tell us
Absolutely.
A bit about them?
He's been involved in various different aspects of the Irish music scene. He grew up with traditional Irish music and folk song, but he's a composer and a musician, basically. His name is Michael Gallen. He's part of a new opera company called Straymaker, so he's wearing a lot of different hats. And this year he's involved in a special performance at the Patrick Kavanagh Centre in Inishkeen, County Monaghan. So let's hear more from Michael Gallen.
So welcome to the podcast, Michael. You're one of this year's Culture Night trailblazers. So what does it mean to you to be a trailblazer and how are you going to be trailblazing on Culture Night as well?
Well, it's an honour to be asked to be a trailblazer. I suppose for me, it's really special this year for two reasons. I suppose one, because, you know, culture has, you know, the preciousness of culture has become so apparent in the way that it's been absent through the time of the coronavirus. And I suppose Culture Night, where it sits in the year, is just at this moment where we're, you know, trying to open things back up a little bit, or to reimagine ways in which we can open up to the public. So it's lovely to be a part of imagining that. And then I suppose as well, because this year the Arts Council have kind of taken over stewardship of Culture Night, it's lovely for me to be involved, I suppose, just in the discussions around that. And how the event is kind of evolving as a result. I suppose my own career has been divided a little bit between doing composition projects that are Arts Council funded and then doing projects with, you know, with bands over the year that would be more, I suppose, independent. And Culture Night really is an event that kind of brings those together. And so it's lovely. I feel like I get to sort of be all the things that I want to be through the role.
Yeah, well, that leads me nicely to our next question. Before we talk about your event at the Patrick Kavanagh Centre, maybe you could give us a flavour of what you do. I mean, you've worn loads of different caps from front in the band Anagog to working with new opera company Straymaker. So how would you best categorise what you do?
I mean, it's tough. I love kind of imaginative projects. I got together with the band when I was at college and I was studying music, and I suppose we all just kind of fell together because we had very similar interests. And over the years then, I guess I've kind of, you know, wanted to try out, you know, more ambitious projects, you know, both in terms of musical stuff, like, you know, writing things for orchestras and choirs. And then in the last couple of years, I've ended up through working contemporary dance, writing quite a bit for stage, and now into kind of composing operas. And I set up the company Straymaker, you know, in part because I feel very connected to music and theatre and spoken words and sung words, but maybe less so to the kind of European tradition of opera. And so I've always been interested in, you know, things that can really grow from an Irish root. And so the goal of the company is to make work that's, you know, very contemporary and, like, you know, very in touch with what's going on in Europe and contemporary opera and contemporary theatre, but at the same time it's kind of rooted in Irish stories, I suppose in quite an Irish idiom musically. So the main project I'm working on at the moment is an opera with Straymaker that's called Elsewhere, which is based on the story of the Monaghan Asylum Soviet, which took place in 1919. It was the first Soviet outside the Soviet Union, and the staff of the psychiatric hospital in Monaghan went on strike to try to get more equitable pay conditions and equal pay between men and women, which was, you know, so forward-thinking for the time. And they weren't getting what they were looking for, so they shut themselves into the hospital and really kind of reorganized how it functioned and incorporated the patients into the working structure. So it's a story that I just always found very fascinating, and, you know, there's such ideas of, such different ideas of freedom in it and diversity. So that's kind of the project I'm working on at the moment. The piece was commissioned by the Abbey Theatre and by an opera company in France, and then Straymaker and my own company are kind of like driving that forward. But I would feel that I wasn't totally alive as a musician if I wasn't playing gigs. So, you know, I'm then always drawn back to just, you know, playing a piano or singing a song and being directly in front of the crowd. So the gig for Culture Night is, it's going to be, you know, me performing songs with a couple of musicians that I've played with over the years.
Yeah, can you tell us a bit more about what people can expect from that gig on Culture Night?
So it's going to be a mix of kind of two different projects, I suppose. So, I for years was the singer with Anagog, some of the songs are kind of drawn more from that world. I'm doing a new project at the moment called Sudden Wells, and it's a mix of songs and kind of instrumental piano pieces or instrumental pieces, you know, with a small ensemble. And you know, the songs are all new, but they're quite drawn from the kind of Shannos tradition of the Oriel region, so around kind of Monaghan and South Armagh. And a lot of the melodies are kind of melodies that I kind of, I suppose, you know, I picked up little fragments, you know, from different, you know, songs from 200, 300 years ago, and then developed them into full songs. So I guess the material is, you know, mainly songs and instrumental based. I'll have two other musicians playing with me, Kevin Gilmore, who's a double bass player, plays with the Crash Ensemble, but he's also the singer with Sun Collective, and Matthew Jacobson, who's a great drummer. So, it'll be kind of an intimate gig, and in the beautiful setting of the Patrick Kavanagh Centre, which is just reopened recently, and, you know, has this beautiful energy. I've always been very connected to Kavanagh, and I think Kavanagh himself was very connected to a lot of the things I'm talking about in terms of the sort of, you know, mythology of the border region. So it feels really right in my role as trailblazer to be doing a concert there.
Excellent. That sounds like a really unique gig. And finally, maybe you could tell us about another pick for Culture Night that's not your own gig. Unfortunately, you can't pick your own gig.
Two of my kind of favourite musicians or groups of musicians are playing together at the moment. That's Ye Vagabonds and Cormac Begley, the concertina player. And they're doing a gig in the Hawkswell in Sligo for Culture Night. And I think that will be absolutely beautiful.
Excellent. Well, best of luck with the rest of the work on that.
Thank you very much, and lovely to chat to you.
That was great to hear from Michael Gallen there on the Culture Night podcast with Get Around to It. And it's kind of nearly time to wrap up, but we still have some great picks for people. So we're going to head to Dublin now, because Dublin, being the size that it is, has a lot more things going on than perhaps other parts of the country, just because of the scale of the city. So we said we'd pick out Dublin in particular and have a look at a couple of events that we liked the look of. And the first one that I have picked out is, looks like a really interesting night. It's run by Kolov, and they have a group called the Ireland Says Welcome group. Now, Kolov, if you haven't heard of them, it's a member organization that involves development workers and volunteers, and it's all about responsive and responsible international volunteering and development work. And they work on towards kind of the topics of social justice, and they work with people who have returned, who were volunteers, and different organizations and member groups. So they all kind of work together, and they have this event as part of it, the Ireland Says Welcome group. They're inviting people on Culture Night for a night of storytelling, music and poetry, and they want to celebrate the life and culture of people who are fleeing war and persecution and seeking a new life here in Ireland and gain an understanding of their struggles. So they're going to do that through film, through music, poetry and talks as well. That's from 4 to 11pm and there's no booking required for that one. And you can take part in that no matter where you are in the country, because it's an online event. Just head to their website, kolamh.org. That's kolamh.org. And as usual, all the details for that are on culturenight.ie. So just search for them and you'll find out more. But again, it's kind of a nice way of using Culture Night to foster community and people connecting with each other as well from different countries. So who have you picked out in Dublin?
My pick for Dublin, well, my first pick is actually at the National Gallery. Looking through the programme, there's loads of stuff that's family friendly, which is what I love about Culture Night in general. And also, there's loads of stuff that I wouldn't normally gravitate towards. That's something that I've always enjoyed about Culture Night in the past, that, you know, the fact that you can happen upon something that you wouldn't normally see is your thing.
Yeah.
But you get drawn in then.
Totally.
So this is an interactive drawing session at the National Gallery are doing this year. I've seen a few of these sorts of, you know, group drawing sessions taking place online during lockdown, but this definitely puts a new spin on it. So the National Gallery are linking up with the French Embassy in Dublin for this event. I think there's a simultaneous event going online in France at the same time, or some gallery in France. Basically, it allows you to use your phone as a drawing pad, and then they project your work, your artwork, on the National Gallery wall.
Okay, so amazing. The one chance I get of being in the National Gallery.
Exactly, exactly. So it's both online and offline. You can do it at the National Gallery, or you can do it at home. And basically, as you said, yeah, you'll be able to say that your work was on the wall of the National Gallery. So
sounds amazing.
Yeah, that's taking place from 5 to 10pm. And also at the National Gallery, there's an online virtual tour. So again, goes back to what we were saying about making it accessible to everyone in Ireland. If you can't make it into Dublin, or maybe you still feel a bit weird about public spaces, this is a great way to experience a beautiful gallery. It might not be the same as being there in person, but it's still a great way to experience, you know, some absolutely phenomenal artworks from Caravaggio, Vermeer, Yeats, loads of stuff. So that's going to be available on the night as well.
Lovely. I have another Dublin event that is family friendly, and I just really love the sound of this. So it is organised by Children's Books Ireland, and it's the Children's Books Ireland Book Clinic, and it's a virtual book clinic. So if you have a young reader at home, or if you're a young reader yourself listening to this podcast and you're feeling a bit uninspired, or your little one is feeling uninspired by the bookshelves and kind of wants to find out, you know, are there more books they could be reading, or if you want to even probably like buy a present for, you know, a niece or nephew or a kid, you can chat to their book doctor via Zoom on the night, and they'll consult on the favourite reads, and then you'll leave with the prescription for the next book. I just love the sound of this, because who wouldn't want a book doctor to tell them what to read, eh? It sounds great. And I do believe that the book doctor does wear the white coat that doctors also wear as well too. So it's a really nice one for young readers. If you have someone in your house who's a big reader and they want to get more advice on what to read, you get a 15 minutes consultation. They're taking place between 4 and 8pm, but you do need to book them. The places are limited, so you need to email Aoife, that's not me, I'm not the book doctor, Aoife at childrensbooksireland.ie. So that looks like a really nice one to head to. I've got one more as well, but you want to give us your next one as well too?
Yeah, I also just want to say that book doctor sounds like my ideal job. I'm thinking about a career change now.
Listen, maybe next year you could be the book doctor.
Please, please, please. Anyway, my second pick for Dublin is the Icon Walk. It's worth pointing out that there's some things that are offline are still happening outdoors. They're mostly outdoors. They're socially distanced and safe. So again, if you feel weird about being in crowds, at least you can, you know, be outdoors and it's a bit more spaced out. This sounds really cool. It's the Icon Walk. It's run by the Icon Factory, which is an artist cooperative, not-for-profit collective based in Temple Bar in Dublin. It's kind of best described as a guided tour through the cultural history of Ireland from 1922 to today. So the walk is a public art project that has basically transformed blank spaces and walls around the city centre area. So if you live in Dublin, you may have seen them already. There's like murals and paintings of various cultural icons from Irish history. And you have a chance to learn more about these writers and playwrights and sports icons and musicians and actors that feature on the walls. And you can see basically how the Icon Walk has transformed some really horrible drab graffiti daubed walls in the city centre. You can see the before and after pictures on their website, iconfactorydublin.com, and that'll give you a better sense of what the Icon Walk actually is. It just sounds like a really cool way to learn more about Irish culture for both locals and visitors alike. So that's taking place offline. It's from 6 to 6:45. You don't have to book it, but show up 15 minutes early, and there's more details on the Culture Night website.
That sounds great. Nice to get out and about and kind of see nice things happening in the city centre of Dublin as well too. So my last pick for Dublin is an interesting one, because I thought when I first read about this, it's Maeve Higgins and Caelan Hogan in conversation. And Maeve Higgins is one of the Culture Night trailblazers. So they've picked a number of high profile, interesting cultural people to be their trailblazers for the night. And Maeve Higgins is one of them. And when I saw that she was going to be in conversation with Caelan Hogan, who wrote the book Republic of Shame, I thought I thought it would be like a chat between the two of them happening in real time. But it's even more interesting than that. So this is a video exchange across the Atlantic, because Maeve Higgins is based in America, from Cove, based in America. Throughout the summer, the two of them sent messages back and forth to each other. So you get this conversation that's going kind of across the ocean and across time as well, and during a global pandemic as well too. So it says their exchange was filmed between tropical storms, lockdowns, protests and quiet moments just waiting for the train. It sounds like such a lovely dialogue, I suppose, between the two of them. And it takes place online between 9 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. on Culture Night. And no booking, of course, is required for that. And there's a link to it as well on the website.
It sounds amazing. I absolutely love Maeve Higgins. I would watch or listen to anything she's involved in. She's so, so funny.
Well, now's your chance. And yes. Caelan Hogan's work is really interesting too. So they sound like they'll have loads. They probably had loads to chat about. Thanks so much for tuning into this special Culture Night podcast hosted by myself, Aoife.
And myself, Lauren.
From the Get Around to It podcast. As you can see, whether you're heading out on Culture Night in person or doing it all digitally, there's so much for you to enjoy in the night and something really to suit all tastes, I think.
Absolutely. And you can head over to the culturenight.ie website as well to find a full range of online and offline picks for this year's event. And you can even create your own Culture Night trail by starring the events you want to go to. So you can search by county and for online and offline events. So very handy.
Looking forward to getting my Culture Night trail organised on the website.
Very nerdy.
Sounds very good. You might know that the Culture Night podcast is produced in association with Headstuff Podcast Network. And if you look back in the archives of the Culture Night podcast, you'll find loads of different episodes that are about different facets of culture and the arts. A lot of leading thinkers, doers and makers who are involved in the chats there. And if you want to hear more from us at Get Around to It, where can people find us and what are we doing on the podcast world, Lauren?
Yeah, if you like what you've heard today, we do more of the same. We have a monthly episode where we chat about all of the music, TV, film and books that we've been enjoying lately, and you can get in touch in various social networks. We're on Instagram at GetAroundToItPod, Twitter at GetAroundTo_, and you can get in touch with any cultural recommendations at Gmail, GetAroundToItPod.
Great. And you can find everything about Culture Night on that Culture Night website. Simple, culturenight.ie. You can also stream or download the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and you can find out more there. Thanks so much for listening to us from Get Around to It on the Culture Night podcast.
Yes, and enjoy your Culture Night, everybody.
Have a good one.
Bye.